Let us come before the Lord, friends, once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee that the glory of heaven is Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Thou, because of Thy love toward us, did send Him. We pray that we might, in this hour, consider Thy Son and His love, the reason why He was willing to leave the glory above to come into this world. Help us then to understand these truths that are so deep and yet they are simple enough for a child to understand. Bless them. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Friends, this morning I want to bring to your attention five things or five reasons for Christ's birth. Many would sing the hymns and the psalms concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. But I ask you, do you know why He came? The reasons for Christ's coming? No less than five times in his first letter, the Apostle John emphasizes the fact and the purpose of our Lord's incarnation, the Lord's birth, his first advent or his first coming. And sometimes the question is asked by people, how do we know that Jesus Christ came? How do we know that he existed? There are two main lines of evidence for the fact of our Lord's birth and His existence, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, His ascension and exaltation. There are two main lines of thinking. One of the things that we know that Jesus Christ came, and I'm saying this by way of introduction, is that His coming was prophetically anticipated. His coming was prophetically anticipated. That's why. Frequently, the Old Testament scriptures, in it we find predictions of the first advent, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact and purpose of His coming are presented to us throughout the Bible in pictures and in types and in promises. From the beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we've at times heard that the first gospel promise is given there in chapter 3 and verse 15. And that part of the Bible, it is historical. What took place was historical. It is not myth or a story. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and the world fell into sin, we read that God comes and gives a gospel promise in verse 15 of Genesis 3. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He addresses the devil, the Satan, the serpent. And he says, there is going to be an enmity between you and the woman. And between thy seed, your offspring, and her offspring, her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He says to the devil, there will come one from the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, who will come and crush your head. But in the process of doing so, his heel will be bruised. And that is a reference to the death of Christ. He will suffer for us. And then later on, there is the sacrificial lamb, the animal that was to shed the blood, and the nakedness of Adam and Eve were covered. These things all are pictures of what Christ would do. And the purpose of his coming. Then there is the scriptures that later on the prophecy is given, especially by Isaiah the prophet about 2,700 years ago that he lived, just over 700 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. And he says this in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. which is also repeated in the Gospels. The name of Jesus Christ is also Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And he comes through the Virgin's womb, as we sing at times. And again, in chapter 9 of Isaiah, we read this in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then, as I read to you earlier on, of that passage in Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and so on. These things are a reference to the birth of Christ. Why he has come? What's the purpose? What will he achieve at the end? All of us have been born at some point. Some of us earlier, some of us later. But when you were born, did your parents know what you would do? Did you know what you would do? You had certain aims. But the purpose of your birth, the reason behind it, what you would achieve and do, those things were only in the mind of God. But here the Lord says what the Messiah would come, how he would come, what he would do, how he would be born, all of these things. And so his coming, his first coming was prophetically anticipated. That's why we know Jesus Christ existed. And the second thing is that, the second reason that we know that the Messiah was to come is that his coming was historically authenticated. It's a historical fact. The four Gospels give us historical detail. They don't say this is a story, this is a story that somebody told us about. No, they were there and they saw Jesus Christ. In the four Gospels and the letters of the apostles, we have the historical record of the Savior's birth and life. And added to this, of course, we have the independent testimony of secular historians who, at the time of Christ's life, they wrote of him and spoke of him, of this Nazarene that men were following and how he was crucified and how these followers began singing praises in his name and continue to worship him and serve him and preach his message to the people around the world. And so we can join with the writer of this letter that we read together in 1 John and chapter 5 and verse 20. We could say with him, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We can be sure, friends, of our Lord's coming and the reasons why he came. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. With all the other things that might be going on in your life now, don't miss the fact that Christ came for specific things. And they must relate to you. So let's go through these five things that I want to bring up from various passages in 1 John. The first thing is that Jesus Christ came into this world, was born to be our sin bearer. He was born with the purpose, with the mission to bear away our sins. That is so fundamental. That's why his name is called Jesus. What does Jesus mean? The Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. How would he do that? By taking their sins upon his shoulders. And in verse 5 of chapter 3, 1 John 3 and verse 5, this is what we read. "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So in 1 John 3 and verse 5, you have one of the reasons why Jesus Christ was born. "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." That phrase, "was manifested," is significant. It infers our Lord's pre-existence, that he was there before. Before he was born in Bethlehem, that was not his beginning. Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. And remember too, Jesus Christ did not lose anything. The Son of God did not lose anything by being born as a child. He actually gained something. That's humanity. Before that point, the Son of God, the Eternal Son, did not have human nature. But by his miraculous birth, that human nature was added to him. And he says he was manifested to take away our sins. Jesus Christ was there before. Did you know that? Listen to the words of John in his Gospel. In his Gospel and chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This title, Word, is a name of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Or we read in another place, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." So he speaks about the time of Christ's richness in glory. "Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Or again in Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son." To send something or someone, that person must already be there, exist. So God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why then did he come? So he was there before he came as a child. Why did he come? The answer is this: to take away our sins. Do you appreciate this? Do you take this home with you to your heart? Christ has come to take away my sins. All that I have done, offending God, breaking all his laws, Christ has come. This is a point of rejoicing. Oh, it humbles us to think that with all the blessings of God, and yet we have rejected him, yet Christ has come to take away our sins. So that's the essential purpose of the incarnation. It was not that we might have a holiday. It was not that our Lord became an example or a teacher, but that he might be a sin bearer. That child that people love to sing about and think about grew up, and he was to take away our sins. So many people would like the child, but not the one who was crucified. "Ye know," the apostle says in 1 John 3:5, "ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." So that's the first thing I want you to think about. Now, Lord Jesus Christ was born to be our sin bearer. And then the second thing is this: that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That's another thing. He has come to take away my sins, but also he's come to destroy something. He's come to attack something. That child, so meek and so mild, we could say, Yet he has come with a mission of destruction. Not to destroy us. He said, I have not come to condemn, but to save. But he has come to destroy the work of the devil. And none of us would want to have anything to do with the devil or Satan. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, we read this, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan is the instigator of all sin, we could say, all the suffering that humanity has known, all the sickness, all the heartbreaks, all the murders, all the wars come because of his presence in this world. And he entices men, he tempts men. And sinners do his bidding. This is what he did initially at the fall of man. He enticed Eve. He beguiled her. He told her lies. He added to the word of God. And Eve took of the fruit and ate and gave it to Adam also. But Jesus Christ has come to destroy Satan and to restore us all that the things that we have lost through Satan's evil works. And he did this by his death upon the cross of Calvary. So the cross of Christ is so linked to the birth of Jesus Christ. You can't think of the birth of Jesus Christ without thinking of the purpose and what he did at the end of his life. There it was on the cross that Satan was defeated. We read this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are the partakers of flesh and blood, he's talking about Christians, he also, that is Jesus Christ, also himself, likewise took part of the same. Meaning took flesh and blood. He's talking about the birth, the incarnation of God the Son. And then it says that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So this is what the apostle is saying. Jesus Christ has taken to himself humanity, flesh and blood, so that he might come to destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil. Jesus is that strong man. That man who comes and binds the strong man. And he did that potentially when he died upon the cross at his first coming. But then he will do that literally at his second coming. In John chapter 10 and verse 10 in his gospel, there's a beautiful illustration of this. Fact that Christ has come to rob Satan and destroy Satan's works. Jesus Christ said this, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's referring to Satan. The thief does not come, but only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then he says this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the purpose. He's come that we might have life. Satan as a thief comes to rob, comes to spoil and destroy. But Jesus Christ comes to reverse the whole process and to overthrow and remove all Satan's works. And what a great thing it is to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his follower, to trust in him. What a solemn thing it would be to be on the devil's side as well. Which side are you this morning? On Christ's side or the devil's side? Are we trusting in him? The Lord Jesus Christ said this, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Satan today is doing his utmost to keep men and women in the dark concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He does that by telling them, oh, if you trust in Christ and Christianity and the Bible, it binds you. It holds you. And you're not free anymore. And the law of God, it's not a good thing. You don't want to have these things hanging over you. Think about it. How foolish the argument is, and yet many people believe it. The law of God is bad. The law of God is binding. The Lord Jesus Christ said one of his laws is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you argue with it. Isn't that a good thing? Thou shalt not steal. Isn't that a good thing? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Do not lie. Isn't that a good thing? Wouldn't you want to follow those things? Do you think, do they bind us? But you see, our Lord Jesus Christ has come to set men free from the bondage of Satan. And what Satan has done, he's robbed us of our true reasoning. I think I said to you some time back, I said if I was to go to a university and I was to stand there and say, you know, I am after the truth. What I want to do in my life, I want to seek truth. And everyone would stand up and they would clap and they would cheer and say, this is a good thing. This minister wants to seek truth. But the problem is, my friends, would be when I say to those people who would be cheering me on, because they would say, I'm after truth as well. Then you say, but I have found the truth. And that truth is in Jesus Christ. You see, people like this notion, I'm seeking truth, but they don't like the fact of saying, I have found it. Have you found the truth? The Apostle John says, we know. We know for sure that Jesus Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. We know that He's come to bear away our sins. This is the purpose. And thirdly, He came to give us eternal life. He came to give us eternal life. We read that earlier on in chapter 4 of 1 John. He came to give us eternal life. He's come to bear away our sins. He's come to destroy the works of the devil. But He's come to give us eternal life. Verse 4, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That we might live through Him. Christ came to give life, and not merely an existence, but eternal life. And this is our greatest need. Because the coming of sin into the world has brought about death, spiritual death, upon the whole human race. That's why. Why is it we are living in a Western world, Western society? We are most educated in every way, it seems. And yet, we have the greatest death rate. We have the greatest number of thefts going on in the country. I think I said to you a few weeks ago of the statistics of robberies in the country. It goes above 1 million robberies in about 10 months or so in United Kingdom. And you have these things. You have in the home fightings, divisions, people being estranged from each other. Breakups of relationships and marriages, unfaithfulness, these things. What is that telling us? There's something wrong here. And if we have to deceive ourselves to try to ignore these things. But Jesus Christ has come. He has seen that these people are dead spiritually. They are dead towards God. I must give them life. Eternal life. He says, you're separated from God. Your sins have brought about a separation. There's a great wall of partition that sin has built. And it is so great and so thick, you cannot go through it. There is no breach. But I must come. With my cross, with my death, I destroy that division. So we read in the writings of the Apostle Paul, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And Christ said to the disciples and to those people who were hearing Him, but they were rejecting Him, He said, and ye will not come to Me, that ye might have life. That He's saying that human nature is not one that would want to accept these things, would not want to have this life that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the message of the gospel. This is why Christ came, to give eternal life to all who would believe in Him. And that is a simple word of that John writes in his gospel, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you possess this eternal life? Are you happy with living far from God? Are things going well for you? Are you happy to be saying to yourself, I'm seeking after the truth, but when the truth is presented, so I don't want this. I don't want this. I like a vague, fuzzy idea of God and faith and these things. But when we are told that there is one way to heaven, then I can't have that. I will have the baby Jesus, but not His words as an adult. I will reject Him as an adult. He said this as an adult. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there are three things I've said. The Lord Jesus Christ was born to be our sin bearer. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ came and was born to destroy the works of the devil. Thirdly, He came to give us eternal life. Now, fourthly, He came to give His life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He came to be that atoning sacrifice. That's the purpose. Another reason to be that atoning sacrifice. And that's what we read as well in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. This is love, He says. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. This love to save sinners comes first from God. The world didn't go after God. The Lord comes after us. And He says this love of Jesus Christ is manifested in this way, is shown in this way, that He's come to be our substitute, our sacrifice. The Son of God was sent by the Lord to be the propitiation for our sins. And these words are saying that the Lord Jesus Christ not only came to take away sin, but that because He did that, by offering Himself as the sacrifice for sin, He entirely vindicated the holy and the righteous character of God. He satisfied all the demands of God's holiness and God's justice. And so this enables God to be merciful to sinners. So God is both holy, He is just, but also He shows mercy because of what Christ has done. God is righteously angry, as a judge would be angry with those who have committed murder. You would be angry with someone who might have committed murder, killed someone in your family. There's a just anger. And God says, here are people, broken all of my commands. I have given them life and breath and health and strength. But they have gone done everything against me. They are not even thankful towards me. They don't even say, give thanks to God at the dinner tables. Let me say to you, ask you, when was the last time you gave thanks at your dinner table? I know many people do here. But truly, being thankful to God. What is that telling us? There's a heart of unthankfulness. And so here it is that the Lord Jesus Christ comes, sees all of these things, sees that the justice of God is against us. But it says, all of these things must come upon me. I have come to pay the debt. I've come to satisfy the justice of God, but also to pay for them so that they might be given life and immortality and be forgiven by my Holy Father. And so the Father punished His Son. He became our substitute for us. This is the message of the Gospel. And we are called to trust in this Savior who died for us. The Apostle Peter says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And so, friends, we can say these things. And we can hear these things this morning. But ask yourself, in the midst of all the talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, all the songs about Christ, do I know Him as my sin bearer, as my sacrifice? So, four things I've said. Normally at this time in the sermon, we are only going into the second point. So, if we've done 4 points this morning, Jesus Christ was born to be our sin bearer. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to give us eternal life. He came to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And finally, He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to be the Savior of the world. And so we read the words of verse 14. And we have seen and do testify. You see, this is what He's saying. This is the proof that Jesus Christ came. We have seen Him and we can testify of this, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a glorious message. This is the wonderful note with which we want to end this message about the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The work of salvation, which He has done, He has accomplished upon the cross, is adequate for all people, everywhere. Christ is this, we could say, a universal Savior, that He, throughout the world, all who would come to Him will be saved. He will save any who would come to Him. The message that was given to the shepherds on the birthday of Jesus Christ, is it still true? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Does this mean that everyone in this world will be saved? No. Does this mean that everyone in this world will arrive safely in heaven? No. It means that salvation is available and provided for all in this world who hear the gospel. But this must be trusted. It must be received. It must be accepted. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Neither, we read in the words of the apostles, it's not coming from me, it's not coming from this church, it's the Word of God. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. He's able to save all who come to Him. But to be saved, we must call upon Him. We must humble ourselves. We must admit that yes, what the Word of God is saying is true. That this does condemn me. It does show me my sinfulness. And I have to admit to this. And also it is showing me that Jesus Christ has died for sinners upon the cross. He has come with this mission and purpose. And the Word of God says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful thing. You might be here this morning. You've come. Maybe you come now and again. You go somewhere else from time to time. And you know that you are not really a true Christian. These things are foreign things. Well, the Lord says, whosoever. It doesn't say those who have heard the message and believed it straight away. It doesn't say those who have been in the church all the time, every Sunday. It doesn't say any of these things. It says, whosoever. Whoever you are, whatever your background might be, whatever your issues may be, if you come and recognize these things, repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So, five things this morning. Don't forget why Jesus Christ has come into this world. First, the Lord Jesus Christ was born to be our sin bearer. Jesus Christ, secondly, came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Thirdly, He came to give eternal life. Fourthly, He came to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then finally, He came to be the Savior of the world. The question is, are these things true of you? Amen. Let us pray.